Hey, it's Brad, host of Your Weekly Calling. Look, Mondays are tough. Your alarm hates you, your coffee betrays you, your boss schedules a meeting at 8:01 like he's Thanos snapping your joy away. That's why I drop a new episode every Monday to help you focus, laugh a little bit, and remember that God's still calling you to more, even if your brain is still in the buffering phase. Trust me, you want this in your ears every Monday. Like and subscribe to Your Weekly Calling because purpose doesn't take weekends off.
Hey everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network, and if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch your podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Welcome to the Heart Conviction Podcast. What's up, Sally? It's me, your bestie, Nina. How y'all doing? Welcome to episode 13. So happy to have you here. I'm going to tell you what, as this is going to be a noisy episode, okay? We got company in the house for the holidays. We got come all. We got dogs in here. You might hear tags rattling, people walking, and the show must go on. We got a podcast to record. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to even fake it. We got hustle bustle here, and I'm just recording in the midst of the madness. As hard as I want to be a little podcast professional, sometimes, you know, I just gotta keep it real with y'all. We gotta bear it. What kind of Christmas music are you guys listening to? Because I know you've all had that first hit of Christmas music in the air. Like you're out and about and you hear the Christmas song for the first time and you're like, what is it? It's time. You're like, it's on. I want to know what your favorite Christmas albums are. I have so many that are like so nostalgic, near and dear to my heart. But the one I usually start the season with is the old school classic 90s Amy Grant Christmas album. I love that album. The song about Mary, that Mary song, Breath of Heaven. Do you guys know that song? I hear that song. It puts me into such a place. It's like that was the line where she goes, do you wonder as you watch my face if a wiser one should have had my place? But I offer all I am for, I can't even sing it without crying, for the mercy of your plan, or something like that. I have to start the season with that song because it's like, if I hear that song, it's like I'm right there with Mary watching her go into labor. It does something to me. I can't even explain. And then I love Tennessee Christmas. And then I love Amy Grant's version of It's the Most Wonderful Time. I just love it. So I want to know what Christmas songs you're playing. I love that one. And if you know me at all whatsoever, I have a Christmas album that like is so sacred. I can't even talk about it because it's too sacred. And we'll talk about that too within the season. I'm going to go ahead and rate the episode. This episode's going to be for everybody. Don't worry. It's not going to be too hot or too cold in any direction. It's going to be an important conversation, part of our important conversation series. And we're going to talk about self-reflection again. And we're just going to talk about the kind of the things that we need to talk about. And I had this kind of war within myself. And I was like, okay, it's Christmas, right? I want to keep it light. I want to keep it festive. I want to keep it feeling good and cheery. And I am internally at war with so many things that are going on with people that I know culturally, the toughness of the holiday. And I thought, I just need to come real and 100% where I'm at and where everybody else is at. And I hope you appreciate that. And so when is it a good time to have hard conversations? And we will dance around it forever. We'll say, oh, I can't deal with myself right now because there's too much going on, or work's too intense, or I have to show up for X, Y, and Z. And there's so many other important things right now. And it takes us into these patterns of just avoiding the important things that we need to talk about for all kinds of things. And the real topic at hand is going to be getting good at talking about hard things. And I really contemplated truly waiting because I thought, well, it's December 1st when this episode comes out and I want to talk about the holidays. And that's just not who I am. Listen, I have been to many gatherings that were considered ruined because hard topics came up. And I don't think that those times are ever wasted. Plus, it's simultaneous the end of the year. Yes, it's Christmas, but we're entering a new year. And I'm always surprised at kind of the negative chatter that comes with New Year's resolutions and those kind of things. People kind of frown at them. They don't like them. They don't want them. Feel negative towards them. And I don't think that's it. I think we need to run towards those things and be excited about it. And what a better time than the beginning of a year to set new goals and renew your mind and come afresh. We're going to have an episode about renewing your mind in the next year. And I'm going to have a special guest on here today. She's somebody that I just know from conferences, and I counsel her time to time, and I call her friend now. And she's just somebody who never is shy from the topic of self-reflection. Her name is Lisa. And we have went through so many hard topics together and talked about just the grittiest of things. And what I find so inspiring about her is she comes running to the altar to bear these things. I don't want this in my life. I want to change it. She'll even say, I'm wrestling with it. I've wrestled with it for a bit and I don't care. I need to talk. I'm going to fight it until I win. Her vulnerability is so refreshing and rare, and she does not dance around issues. She runs towards them. And so I want to encourage us to kind of get into this headspace. And I've also had people ask me to teach on self-confidence on these podcasts. And it all kind of works hand in hand. And until you get good about talking about the really hard things, you won't have confidence, because you'll hear me say this 100 times, the wrong always run. When you are wrong, you will run from yourself. When you are wrong, you will run from truth. You will run from important conversations, hard conversations. I can tell you, I could stand in front of you right now and tell you there is not a topic in this world, not politically, emotionally, personally, spiritually, anything, that I would run from, because I believe in showing up for the good and the bad and the wrong and the upside down and the ugly. And if there's one thing that I would ever hope I would leave with anybody, it's that I was honest and I was real and I was brave. And I was brave when it came to talking about the hard things. So we're going to talk about that today a little bit and kind of enter a place where I just want to encourage the listeners to not run from what hurts anymore, from the family tension, from the awkwardness between people. Let's give up glossing it over. For 2026, let's give it up. Can you fast glossing it over? What if you just had real hard conversations with people that needed to have it? Well, I'm going to go ahead and start and give you an update with the puppies. Y'all have seen me post them. If you heard last week's episode, two puppies were thrown literally into my path. And I had to say, challenge accepted. I still have them. They are running my life. We have good days, but some days I'm drowning in puppy and they're dictating my whole schedule. But I had an interesting thing happen. And I think it's a really good story to the testament of self-reflection that we've been talking about. And the day after Thanksgiving, I was doing errands and there's two puppies, a girl puppy and a boy puppy. And the girl's a little bit naughty, okay? She likes to get into it. She likes to make a mess, whatever. So I said, I'm just going to take her with me because she's real good in the car. And I brought her with me. You guys, I left the window cracked for her. Well, I guess my crack was not just a crack. And I'm going to tell you what. When I came back to the car, she was gone. Here I had been so up to my neck with them. So I kept my cool with them, but internally I'm like, I'm puppy overwhelmed. And she's gone. And I'm like, it's chilly out, kind of. So I know nobody, like, you know, busted in to save her. And I wasn't gone long. And she had wiggled her way out of that window. And in that moment, I had so much panic wondering where she is, if she got hit by a car. Did somebody bad find her? Is she looking for me? Is she hungry? Am I going to find her? What's going to happen? And I thought, if I find her, I'm never going to be frustrated with her again. I'm going to be so sweet to her and not have low patience for her. And I was just so sad looking for her, thinking, at what point, if I can't find her, at what point do I stop looking for her? Knowing she's out here, knowing she's alone. I did the whole thing, called the shelters, all the things. And I looked for her for 2 hours, and I just couldn't imagine going home and finding any kind of peace knowing that she was lost. And I said a prayer, and I just said, Lord, you know my heart in this. I'm trying to do right by them. I'm trying to have patience. I'm taking the lesson in it. I know there's victory to come, and I will serve your tiniest of creatures, Lord, if that's what you need me for right now. But Lord, I can't handle the stress of looking for her, not to mention other things I had to do in the day. I said, Lord, please help me find her right now. I need to find her right now. Lord, help me. And I just took a minute, and I sat and I prayed, and I tapped into something higher. And I felt like I was supposed to go back to this one part of the street where I'd originally kind of lost her. And I went down the alleyway. I kind of was like, Lord, lead me. I'll go where you want to go. I'm listening. Help me. If you'll help me, I'm listening. And I turned down this alley and saw a lady open her garage door, and actually had to reverse to talk to her. And I said, you know, you didn't find a puppy, did you? And she goes, no. And she goes, but you know, I'm in a group chat with some of the moms here. Let me look. She goes, look, I'm going to send a picture in the group chat. I said, okay. And I'm opening my phone to show her a picture. I point my phone at her, show her the picture. She goes, oh, look, there's a picture of her right here in this group chat. And this is a big neighborhood, y'all. Big neighborhood. And I got the puppy back. And you guys, I was like, I'm so sorry I got frustrated. I'm so happy to take care of you puppies. Thank you, 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 thank you. I love you. And it flipped my perspective. And it's like, why do we have to like lose the things that frustrate us in order to appreciate it? Is that not such a lesson in thankfulness? And I just felt so checked. And I was like, Lord, I hear you. I hear you, God. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. And I sobbed when she opened up that, it, like embarrassingly sobbed. And she opened up that text message, and I'm like, you know, like this, it's just a thought. This lady's probably like, okay. But that's where we're at with the puppies. Double meaning in that thought, that was pretty funny. Okay, so a few things. Let's go and go through our bulletin. The few things that are to come for this. Number one, I'm now booking speaking engagements for 2026. If you want to have me come speak at your women's conference or your church home group, anything, I'm available. Reach out to me on any platforms or email me, ninapalmermanagement@gmail.com. I would love to book you for 2026. And what we are going to start doing next year. We have so many things planned. We are going to really dive into self-reflection, even starting today. And what perfect time when we're all making New Year's resolutions. I would encourage you to not be those people that frown at New Year's resolution or say things like, oh, I don't need that to happen. Why not? It's such a good, appropriate time. A calendar new year is a perfect time to set new goals, to renew your mind. We're going to talk about that, what the scriptures say about it, and to say, make declarations over it. You know, those, I'm not a vision board person per se, like the scrapbooky ones. I'm not saying I'm above it. I could do it, but I don't really do them. But those people say that those dang things work. And so I want to encourage you to be somebody that makes goals, even if it's small goals. 1 year, my New Year's resolution was to like olives. And as silly as it was really fun. And it made all these like new little dates and restaurants and silly, but fun, even if it's like a minor thing. I know somebody that did a whole new resolution about just moving more. They were going to move more, whether that meant dancing, hiking, anything, they were going to move more. So it doesn't have to be these like humongous weight loss things or these, you know, I'm going to write a book. It doesn't have to be all that. It can just be these like basic things, but just so that we're intentional. Okay, intentionality. Have we not learned that intentionality matters? Another thing we're going to start that I've been really excited to start, I know it feels like we've been Sally's now for a long time, but it really has only been 3 months, is I have quite a PowerPoint, if you will. No, I have quite a mental presentation and so much to dump and unload. And I'm trying to figure out the most strategic, organized, best way to do this. But my heart is in incarceration reform. It is such a beast to take on that I'm trying to figure out the best way to take it on, to convey it and to do it. Because here's what's hard. I want those who call the shots to respect the process of reform. And as we've learned, when you're calling out what people are doing wrong, they normally don't take it well. And so I have already had some involvement with the Charleston County Jail in South Carolina. That taught me so much from the little bit that we did there. It taught me kind of how to move forward. And so we are going to focus on a few jails. We're going to start with Dallas County Jail, predominantly because it's where I live and I will have the most access to that as far as distance. And Daniel from the show 60 Days Zen, shout out to Daniel in Ohio. We are going to do the Justice Center right there in Ohio where he is, but we're going to concentrate on those two jails. And so this is a call that if you know anybody who works there, if you have any involvement in those two jails, Daniel lives in Cincinnati, so I don't know if that helps you kind of know exactly where it is, but if you have any involvement, any stories, if you have been an inmate in those jails, we want to talk to you. And I have just learned in this whole process of being on 60 Days In that the lack of accountability for these jails are what is killing us the most. And it's this hidden structure that we pay for often, unless it's private, but often county jails, we pay for that we can't see, that's hidden. And we just have all this faith that it's being ran well. But yet our citizens, they are our citizens, have stayed there. So there's actually tons of testament of what goes on in there. And so I want you to take a minute and think about it and think if you would like to be involved in incarceration reform. And we're going to have a whole episode about that soon, what that would look like, why you should care if you have a calling to that. And I'm hoping to inspire you to really find some passion, some hope, some feelings there, and some empathy for people who are incarcerated. The Bible says that we are to be incarcerated with those who are incarcerated and to feel for them as though we were there. And I think jail ministries and things have really fallen off the church spectrum. And so I'm going to start from a real nitty gritty place. I want to learn the entire way. I am learning every step in every direction as we do this. And I don't 100% have the answer. No, not even 100%. I barely know how we're supposed to tackle things, what we're supposed to do. And we are also going to talk about the jail that we were in Utah County. And Daniel and I would like to hold them accountable for some things too. So Mike Smith, we're going to start talking about you. If you watch the show, you know, and we're going to get real gritty on that. And I would love for you all to participate. And maybe that's part of your New Year's resolution, is that you're going to get involved in something bigger than you, a passion project. Doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean that you have to know exactly all about it or have some connection to jail for it, but it's going to be really gritty and it's going to be a long process and it's going to be a beast to tackle. So I need you. I want you as a part of that. Reach out to me, email me on ninapalmermanagement@gmail.com or any socials if you have any involvement with Dallas County Jail or I believe the Justice Center, and I'll get the exact name for it, Justice Center in Cincinnati. I think that is what it's called. And we're going to have a whole episode on that. Not to mention, you guys have asked that we dissect the 60 Days In episodes for season 9. So I am setting up one by one to go through every episode with commentary. We're going to have some other guests on from past seasons of 60 Days In, and obviously my besties from the show. We're going to give you behind the scene details, commentary, things that are hilarious, intel, things about production. And we'll talk about, you know, how real is reality TV? And we're going to talk about that too. I want to give you a gift giving tip this week, as promised that I would. I know some of y'all struggle in the gift department. People struggle in the gift department, even when they know what people like and want. And so I am a self-proclaimed excellent gift giver. If there's one thing that I will just brush my shoulder off about that, it's gift giving. I'm like one of the best gift givers I know. And I'm going to tell you, here's a little way to think about this. So I have a goddaughter, Skylar. Shout out to Skylar. Love you. Actually, Skylar, go ahead and shut this off because I don't want you to hear what I'm getting here for Christmas. You can hear. I don't care. Her and I just had a FaceTime on Thanksgiving. I'm like, what have you been up to? You know, she's like, I've been working out. I've been going to the gym. It's been 2 weeks now. I'm going to get into it. You know, we're getting right for 2026. And just that conversation, I heard her say that. And so what I'm going to do, because I want to support that, and it kind of is in alignment with this podcast today, I'm going to make her a whole workout gym themed present. So I'm going to get her gym clothes. I got her some shoes on Black Friday. Hope you shop Black Friday sales, like I said, too. Gym socks. I'm going to get her some hydration packets, some things like for the gym. I got her like a little gym satchel, a big gym bag, and then even maybe like a gift card to the gym. I know what gym she goes to, so I'm not wondering if I could even like prepay for her for a couple months or something like that. And I'm just going to present her, and she loves a candle. So I'm going to get her her candles and then present her this big gym gift basket. So that's just something for you to think about. When you have conversations with people you are buying for now, think about what they say they're into or what they have a need for. Like, I have these puppies right now. Give me pee pads for Christmas. Just kidding. Well, kidding, not kidding. Listen, if somebody could just get me like 10 Costco-sized pee pads, I would, Santa will be real for me. So the theme of this episode this week is, when is it a good time to talk about things? And when can we talk about the hard things? It is the time, you know? And I don't love this saying right now that's out, like, I'll match your energy. You know, I match energy. Whatever energy you give me, I match energy. You know what? I don't match energy. I set energy. And I will dictate what the energy is going to be. And I don't let your energy set anything. I'm going to tell what the energy is going to be. And I'm going to probably go one up, you know? And this holiday season, I know it's Christmas. I know we want to indulge in all the good and fun things, as we should. Those things are great. And we love those things. But reality has to happen too. And if we dance around the best time to correct something, or I'll start my diet after the holidays, or I will talk to this person once Christmas is over, we're never going to get there. The runaround is exhausting. And I feel it in our political climate. I am so burdened by what's going on right now. I want to talk about it on here, but I'm sad that we all get so turned off when hard topics get talked about. And one of the biggest breakthroughs you can ever have in your life is to get good at being uncomfortable. Get good when things are hard and say, hey, I'm willing to talk about it. You know, my husband was home for the holidays in Thanksgiving, and I said to him, there were some topics that needed to be talked about, and get, you know, did you talk about them? Did you bring them up? And he was kind of like, well, I didn't know when. It's hard. I get that. We all feel that. But then we abandon these things that need talked about. And I want to invite you and encourage you to get to a place where you're just bold and you're just confident. And that's in good and bad, in love and the topics that are hard. And to get to a place where we say, hey, I need to talk to you about this. This is important. When is the best time to talk about it? If we continue to wait, we're never going to get there. Despite what your opinion is, even on the Charlie Kirk stuff, I hope y'all are following Candace right now, because the topic I go back to over and over again, and as we talk about the topics in ahead on incarceration reform, on self-reflection, on the church as a whole, when things get sticky, when you start talking about hard things or things within yourself or truth or pain or things that people did wrong, even when you start talking to yourself about things that you've done wrong, in that internal dialogue about what you need to change, the wrong always run. Those who are wrong always want to run. They always want to run. And remember that, and let that stick with you. And that's within yourself too. When you're wrong, you're like, I'm just going to run. And we don't want that. You need to be somebody who shows up and says, I'm willing to talk about these things. And what's happening to Candace Owens right now, is she's saying, hey, I'm not saying I'm 100% right. I'm not saying that I got this all correct, but can we talk about what's weird or off or wrong or what doesn't add up, what doesn't make sense? And while this topic of Charlie Kirk has gotten to be such a heated topic, and people get so uncomfortable so quick by it and we squirm and we don't want to offend anybody. We're not talking about what the original conversation was. We're talking about the lies coming from so many areas and aspects and even things that are disguised as good, that are disguised as religious or good or right. And they're saying, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. This is what I experienced in church. And we're going to talk about it too. It was like, No. Don't bring it up. Don't talk about it. She's crazy for talking about it. She's nuts for saying that we need to discuss these things. And the second that they tell you to stop talking about things or don't ask questions or don't question what's right or wrong, you guys, we have the right to question what's right or wrong, even if it's just to learn and to get to a place where you can see what's right. And those who are right or innocent are the ones who say, I'm available to talk. What do you need to talk about? Let's talk through this. What do you want to see? Let's expose it all. And I just want to encourage you to get into a place for this next year. There's never going to be a good time to talk about things. It's never going to be easier. And get right with yourself. Get right with the people around you. Get good at having conversations that hurt. Pay attention to what's going on. I told you there's going to be dogs rattling around here. Get good with that conversation of, this is hard. This sucks. And now Candace Owens' life is getting threatened because she's talking about it. And I'm going to talk about what I felt that on a very, 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 very minor scale when I was exposing corruption. I had somebody call me this week and say, hey, you talked about on one of your podcasts that we owe you some money. And I don't like that. And I said, well, I don't like that you owe me money. You know, I mean, you did me wrong, but you don't want to talk about it. And we actually had a great conversation that ended very well. But is that not true to testament of this? Hey, we did this, you know, not right. It wasn't good. It was wrong. But you don't talk about it, you crazy wrong person. You know, you're a troublemaker. And I encourage you to be a troublemaker. So we're going to have whole episodes about that too. So just a little end of the year wrap up, what to look forward. You guys, you stick with important conversations like this and it'll adjust the way you handle all kinds of things. So we have a guest and she's going to be on here and she's here and I just can't wait to have her and welcome her. And she's just, I hope you can take from the simplicity of just this, it's not some profound interview, but just what actual self-reflection looks like. Here we go. This is my good and dear friend, Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Well, I invited you on because, do you want to share how we know each other?
I'm trying to remember who it was that posted about it. They were going to be speaking at your healing... Was it Healing the Heart conference?
Yeah. A woman's conference. Yep.
Yeah. A woman's conference. So I decided to go and brought a pile of friends with me. And that's.
Girl, you walked in there like infantry. I thought it was a takeover.
And I was kind of skeptical, honestly. And I was just like, okay, let me see if anybody wants to come with. And yeah. It was like five or six of us. And it was great.
I was the speaker there and that's how we met and we've kept in touch ever since and we've done some counseling and some work on some other things, some personal counseling, and we've really like gotten to know each other. What I like about you is I've counseled so many people throughout the years, but you are always so transparent and you're willing to talk about anything and you're very good about not making excuses for sin or shortcomings. And you just kind of lay it on the table. You don't hold back. And when things get rough, you're quick to be like, hey, excuse me, not doing real great. And could I get some sisterly help in Christ, please?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you have recently reached out to me again and you kind of said, hey, I would like to do some more counseling again. And just give us like a little summary of what kind of induced that.
Well, I've been going through a lot over the last couple of years. Some of it is just really chronic stress from work, like work-life balance. And my grandfather passed away last year around this time.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And then
we'll talk about that. We've had episodes about loss and holidays and compartmentalizing. So yeah, I feel for you. That's a hard one.
Yeah, especially like the first year after it. So dealing with all of those emotions and it's like the anniversary and kind of reliving everything that happened last year. And then I'm in the middle of a job change, and it's kind of the same job, but different place, different people, dealing with, you know, the struggles of going into a new place and people not really particularly liking you and trying to navigate those struggles.
The new work just, mesh is hard.
Yeah, for sure. And then just, I mean, I have a whole long list, as you know, but weight struggles and depression.
Yeah.
Kind of all of that.
And I think you're going through basic things that people always go through. But what I like about you is at what point, because I know you well enough now that things have shifted for you, but at some point you said it is better to not walk through these things alone. And you've gotten very good at like reaching out to pastoral help or group help and things like that, right?
I've reached out to just like my pastor at my church and a couple of just a couple people that I know in the church, and I'll send texts out and be like, hey guys, I really need some prayer. And I'll give them kind of like a rundown of what I'm dealing with, because dealing with it alone, isolating, is definitely not helpful.
That's right. Don't you think people just sit in their thoughts for so long and they never really make like a plan of action, like not solution oriented? There's no, how are we going to fix this or what will make it better? They kind of fester on it, sit with it, let it get worse, let it bleed on to other areas and make excuses for it. And that is one thing that you do not do. You don't make excuses for the areas that need improvement.
No. Yeah.
At what point did you get so good at that, though? You'll be like, I made a list of where I'm wrong, and it'll be like 25 things, and you'll write it so beautifully. It'll be like poetry.
I don't really know. It was years ago. I had gotten out of an abusive relationship with my child's father, and that's when I first started struggling with, you know, a lot of mental health stuff, PTSD, anxiety, XYZ. Mm-hmm. And the doctors kept telling me to go to therapy, and then I would talk to my family about it, and they'd be like, no, you don't need therapy. Therapy doesn't help. So I was like, ugh. And then eventually one day I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try therapy and see how it goes. And then I went to a therapist, and at that point I finally realized that I wasn't alone, because I almost felt kind of like crazy. Like, am I crazy that I feel this way? And after going and talking to the therapist, and then after that, getting deeper into the church and talking to more people there, I realized that it's not something that only I struggle with. It's normal stuff.
And you've
just a lot of people don't like to talk about it.
That's right. Oh my gosh. Oh, it's so funny you say that, because that's what this entire episode's about. And I know you don't know that. I know you're not privy to that. So people don't want to talk about hard things. And that's how I introduced this episode. And I said, it's so easy to put stuff off. Like, I don't want to talk about this during the holidays, or things are already hard enough. But there's really no good time to dive in except now, whatever now is for you. And you have found quite a bit of solitude in the church too, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you and I made a list, and we counseled a bit ago, I would say maybe like a little over a year ago, and you came back and I said, make a list. Give me a list of what you're struggling with and what you're going through. And I had you on here because what I want to do is I want people to see the importance and the significance of self-reflection. And it's kind of like a snooze fest topic. Like, I think it kind of falls under self-help, and we like don't really want to. And who wants to sit around and think about where they're bad? It's not fun. And it's literally the difference in everything once people, like, you know, grip it by the nards and just get it done and learn how to talk about where they're bad and want to change and get good at uncomfortable topics and be led into repentance and really get grounded in change and being wrong. And it's the foundation of our religion, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, so as an example, will you read us your list of the areas that you said that you kind of wanted some help in right now?
The main thing is I even want to call it weight loss, but like just overall physical health, nutrition, exercise, movement. And that kind of ties into the other thing that I was talking about, is kind of like this laziness, not wanting to do anything. It's almost like I have so much to do sometimes that I just would rather not do anything at all. And then on the other end, I feel like I've used this laziness because, you know, a lot of people say rest is important, and it is. But I think that I sometimes in my mind, maybe to justify my own issue, I just say, oh, well, you know, rest is important. So I'm just not going to do what I know I need to do. And I'm just going to be lazy, which is toxic and something that I need to work on. And then I would say probably the other main thing is just the way I use my words. I can tend to fall into gossip a lot and have issues with, you know, cursing still. So that is my third major thing that I want to work on.
I think it was perfect that you brought up this topic amongst us, and I appreciate you being willing to share it with listeners and talk about it too, because we are going to get into a segment. I've had some guests already record episodes together about weight loss, about our mental space when it comes to our bodies. And then somebody asked me to do an episode on confidence. And I think those kind of work hand in hand too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where would you say your confidence level is at right now?
Between a 1 and a 10, I would say. it's low. It's probably like a 4 or 5.
Okay. So that 4 is hanging on for dear life.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
a life support 4.
Yes.
Well, and I wish that weight wasn't such a big issue in this life. I wish it didn't take so much effort and take such a toll on people. And I wish that when we do struggle with it, that the price wasn't so high, but it is. And it affects so many things, even in areas we don't see. It's a good place to start. Even if you don't struggle with weight, sometimes people struggle with body image or how self-conscious they are. Or, you know, there's this girl that goes to the gym that I go to, and I'm telling you, she is the most unhealthy looking thin person I've ever seen in my life. And I'm not judging or being mean or criticizing her, but truth be told, she looks like the photographs of people in concentration camps. I'm not kidding you. I've never been able to see somebody's organs show through their skin. And I can see like outlines of her organs. And like she works out with a trainer and she's there all the time. And I mean, I'm not kidding you. I am 5 seconds away from hugging her and praying for her and being like, sis, this ain't it for you, you know? And I like even waited for her one day. I was like, today's the day I'm going to say something. Today's the day I'm going to say something. So it's not always weight loss. It's body image, confidence, how we feel about ourselves, how we steward our bodies, how we prioritize things. And if we allow the Lord to be in that too, because anywhere that we hurt or suffer or have weakness or struggle, the enemy pries on it. And what's really important to see is, believe it or not, those things grasp eternity and they do affect the kingdom and how much of a participant you are and what kind of pilgrim you are, so to speak. And so you and I have decided together that we're going to take at least 3 months before we deal with any of the other things that you want to improve on or get counseling through or, you know, Christian guidance through. And we're just going to work on weight for a while. Well, we are going to touch base with you again. And I want to kind of walk through this journey with you a little bit here and there, just because sometimes we got to see examples of people who struggle. And I just had somebody on who, she created a Instagram. Her name's Alicia. She's incredible. And she's ready to just tackle the weight that she's battled her whole life. And she decided to hold herself accountable. She was going to log it every day and make a video. And she's hysterical, so it makes it so fun to watch. But she's having all this progress. And I just think we all need it. It's like the perfect way to go into the new year. And this is for guys too. Guys struggle with it also. And we just need to like feel good and be healthy. So I want to have you back on to touch base with it. I just think you're a perfect example of somebody who continuously makes full circle and holds yourself accountable. And even when you fall off, you come back and you're always seeking improvement. And I want to get away from this kind of like cliche, corny topic of self-improvement. And I want to get to like the bones of it and the nitty gritty topic of it and to be like, hey, what is actually happening here? And so what was your first homework assignment from me in this department?
You told me to watch 600 pound, my 600 pound life.
Sure did. That was your first assignment. Because when you see somebody who is like just buried in something we're dealing with, like to an when it's magnified, I think it's really inspiring and inspirational because you see, call it what you want, that struggle, that sin, that burden, that cross you bear, whatever, you see it magnified and you see it like just savage. And it's always helped me reel it in. Like even when I need to organize or clean, my mom and I used to say, if we just watched an episode of the show Hoarders, like it was like we all of a sudden had all this energy in the planet to spring clean. And so I had you watch my 600 pound life. I suggest it for anybody, any person I've ever suggested this to. I'm not kidding you, for the years to come, they're like, thank you for that. That was a turning point for me. So what did you get from the episode? You just watched one episode, and what did you get from it?
It was really sad to see her in that condition, like just in pain, can't move. And she basically was saying, you know, I live to eat. Like that's all she that's all she lives for. She gets out of bed, she takes a shower, and then she's ready to dive in and start eating. And she there was even a part of the episode where she was like, I want to get out of the house. And she left her house and went to like, I don't even know how many different restaurants and got like her favorite thing on the menu. And it was just, I don't know, eye-opening. Like, I know you talked about on one of your episodes, the self-indulgence and giving yourself what you desire, what you want. And it was just like self-indulgence.
Yeah, literally part of satanic principle.
Overload.
It's part of it's part of Satanism. Well, when you think about it like that, like our little sweet tooth can enter satanic territory. It sounds like we're joking, but we're not. It's crazy. Yeah. Tell me about the milkshake.
The ice cream sundae I had when I was looking for my episode. Yeah. So we went and got an ice cream sundae before we came to the house. And I was like, okay, I'm going to find my episode. And I'm looking, like, kind of like looking at the description to try to find one that might, you know, work best for me and what I'm struggling with. And you can see the clip of the people and like the images and just seeing it, seeing the way that they looked, that overweight made me not even want to finish my ice cream sundae. I ended up throwing it away. I didn't even finish it.
Like, well, hey, I'll tell you what, watching those people on 600 pound live eat a whole sheet cake every night, it will make you be like, what? I don't need, no thanks.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass. I was cracking up. You said, I threw my milkshake away. And I thought, well, we're off to a good start, are we not?
Yeah.
And then you had some deeper realizations in the episode, too. Will you talk about that a little bit?
Some of the things I wrote down, just quotations like you asked me to. And somebody had said, I think it was on the intro, but they said, I don't want to die. I haven't even really lived yet.
Yeah,
I don't want to die. I haven't even gotten to live yet. I'm ashamed I've let it get to this point. Overwhelmed by the size of my body. And then she was talking a lot about sweets and anything with sugar is her weakness. And she referred to it as heaven wrapped into these tiny little bites, and she couldn't get enough.
Fair. I mean.
Yeah. And then she made the comment that food helped her get through some of the hardest moments in her life. And I struggle with that because I'm like, oh, I've had a rough day at work. I'm going to go get some ice cream, or, you know, you even see it on movies and stuff. But you go through a heartbreak and you go buy a big tub of ice cream and sit in front of the TV and watch movies and stuff. So I've kind of had that same struggle too, where if I'm feeling sad or stressed, I'll overindulge. And then Dr. Now told her that she needed to go through psychotherapy to face the emotional struggles and the core issues around her eating. So that was the thing that really hit me.
I thought it was interesting that you got that from that, because our conversation led to a really deep place when you brought that up. You said you felt like it, there was like some that part of the episode kind of showed you some things like in your childhood even, and maybe there was some pain there, and it was always sort of there was always a food presence there of compensation.
I mean, yeah, I've always used food to just make me feel better. Because it's always there.
Yeah.
It's always there when people aren't.
Shoot. And it's like a little hit. It's like a little dopamine hit. And sometimes we just need something to make us feel good. And they say we're a society that loves a little treat. We are a little treat society. You know they say that?
I believe it.
What would you say to somebody who is like where you're at right now, struggling or not where they want to be, or they struggle with motivation or in any area, it doesn't have to be weight, but they're in an unhealthy relationship or they aren't happy spiritually or they're not where they're supposed to be? What would you say to somebody who just struggles with the self-reflection part and starting?
Probably tell them not to stress too much about it. Basically like one step at a time. They always say, make the next right choice. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're moving in the right direction, then that's what really matters at the end of the day. I think sometimes when we're struggling with something, we can get too overwhelmed trying to figure out all the things, like everything that we need to do to get to where we want to be. And that can be discouraging and make us not want to move forward. So
that's right.
Just taking the time to take small steps and move in the right direction, I think, is more important than trying to figure it all out right now.
That's right. I always tell people that's really good. I say we're seldomly stagnant. Seldomly are you stagnant. Everything is usually leading to more of itself, forward or backwards. Rarely are we just at a standstill. And even if you're inching forward, if you're making teeny steps forward, that's still moving forward. But often we're making teeny steps backwards, and then all of a sudden we're somewhere and we're like, how did I get here? And that could be in anything. It could be in weight. It could be in depression. It could be in messiness. It could be in a bad relationship. It could be loneliness. It could be anything, debt, anything. And I think the key is those teeny steps and that they matter, and just start making a plan and do what Lisa does, y'all, and reach out to somebody, get involved, get plugged in, go to a church, show up to stuff, show up to a conference that you don't even know what it's about. Like, hey, I'm seeking betterment. Can't hurt. I'm just going to show up. And then look, you and I have this like relationship out of it for years. And hopefully I hope to pour into each other for years to come.
Yeah, for sure. Me too.
And you want to get married, right? So we got to get you 100% like wife ready for one day.
You're that's like, a story for another episode.
That's another episode. All right, girl. Well, thanks for coming in here and showing vulnerability. Will you come back and share your progress with us in like a month?
Yeah, sure.
Anything else you want to say? Any encouragement? Anything to anybody listening that is in a bad place or anything?
No, not other than just take it slow and take the next right step. Reach out to somebody, like you said. Get involved in a church.
Yeah.
Pray.
How important has self-reflection? Pray. Pray. How important has self-reflection been for you?
It's just been a life changer for me. Because whenever you actually start to realize the real reasons behind what you struggle with, I think it makes it a little bit easier for you to take the steps to change it.
Yeah, because it's interesting when you come into counseling sessions, you'll often come with like, hey, I want to talk about these three things. And then when you leave, it's like, oh, okay, I'm actually working on these six things, because talking about the three things, maybe realize there are three other ones. Yeah, self-reflection is one of the most important topics. And I don't know why it doesn't hold our attention or why we don't want it more. And like, none of us can name a perfect person. Not one of us know a perfect person. You might know somebody close, but you don't know anybody perfect. And it's like, so then that means like we all need it. Like, you're not excluded from self-reflection. Like, you need it too. And so that's to anybody listening. Time to work on those hard areas, friend. Right?
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us for the Heart Conviction Podcast. I hope to have Lisa with us again to give us a little touch base on her self-reflection. Listen, y'all, we're going to talk about this topic for a long time. So we all, until we die, I'll be on this podcast 80 years old. Like, hey, I'm working on my attitude. We ask that you like and subscribe. If you would follow the show, it really helps us. So you'll get notifications when there's a new episode. Just go to the top, hit the three little dots, say follow show. And I'm going to ask a real big request for Christmas. Will you leave me a positive review? It means the world to me. All right. We will be back next Monday. See you soon, Selly. Bye. We'll be right back.